Amazing is that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And just because you don't know the plan doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan. In order for the plan to get started, you got your heart and soul got to say yes to Jesus, yes to God. And just because we have done something or been through something or are currently involved in something does not stop God's plan. It might delay it, but it doesn't destroy it. We can't destroy the plans of God. God has a plan for each and every life in here. Hallelujah. But Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't feel like God got no plan for my life because you haven't come on in to see what he got for you. You got to come in to see for yourself. You got to, in order to see what the plan is, you got to take a look at it. In order to take a look at it, you can't keep on looking from the outside. You got to get a upfront, personal, close-up view of what God has for your life. But God has a plan for your life. Think about that for a moment. God has a plan for your life. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God. We lift you up. We magnify. We pray, God, that your word will go forth, God, that there be no hindrance, that your anointing will rest, that you would just have your way as we fellowship in your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about God's promises to you. God's promises to you. No matter what God requires of you or what God calls you to do, he will, with the assignment, provide you with all that you need. You ever think about it? Anybody have an assignment in church? You have to raise your hand when it's kind of difficult. Seems like you can't get any participation. You get a whole lot of aggravation. You don't have to raise your hand because I don't want the people that work with you, you know, to get with you after the benediction. But some assignments aren't easy. Some assignments are a challenge. As a matter of fact, some assignments, you won't get anybody to mess with you because they don't want it. Sometimes God will give you an assignment that everybody won't be clamoring for or won't be like looking at you and be envying you for. They'll be like, yeah, they got that. But God will promise you with the assignment to give you what you need to endure the assignment. And I'm like many folks. I just say, if God's going to be with me, ain't going to be no problems. The word didn't say that. God said, I'll be with you to get you through the problems. Just because God's with you doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges and not going to have problems. God said, I'm with you to get you through the problems because I realize that in order to do ministry, sometimes you got to get through the problem to do the ministry. If you can't work with the problem, work through the problem, then you can't do no ministry. So God gives us, sometimes with us, he gives us that endurance to get through what it is that we need to get through. God prepares us for the assignment. I love Jeremiah. He said, look here, oh Lord, hold up. Hold up. Hold up. I'm too young for this crap. I don't need none of this right now. I'm trying to get me a girlfriend. I'm trying to get my social life together. I don't need none of this right now. I'm too young, but I can't even talk right. Oh Lord, have mercy. He's not unlike us. When we feel God get ready to call us to do something, we'd be like, uh-oh. Oh Lord. We begin to think about what we can't do, what we can't handle, what we're not qualified for. And God said, I asked you about all that. I made you in my image. I know what I blew in you. In the garden of Eden, I know what I put in you. And all I need you to do is say yes. Because when you say yes to me, I will activate what I put in you. And when I activate what I put in you, I'll also be with you. And I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, let me blow your mind about you. Well, sometimes what God will do, he will pull you and I out of our comfort zone. Everybody likes to be comfortable. But we can't keep on doing the same stuff for 20 years. Because sometimes God will say, come on now. What that song say? Come up a little higher. You know, come on, let me show you some more. There's more building blocks. There's more stuff in you. Get off the milk. Chew some meat. There's some more folks that need you. Because what God calls us to, it is rarely just for us. Some of the churches, some of the body of Christ, the body of Christ is suffering because folk like you and I don't want to do nothing but stay in our comfort zone. I'm going to beat us till Jesus comes. Who told you that? That's because you like that. That's why you say, I'm going to beat us till Jesus comes. Because it's cool, it's easy, it fits in my schedule. Ain't nobody calling on me, ain't nobody pulling on me. I ain't got to do the extra money, I got to deal with the nickel, I got to deal with people. Let's be real, that's the way we think.
I want to be active in the church, but I won't be too active. Because I get too active, I won't have time for myself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Oh, this is a gifted church, but are we using our gifts? Or are we making excuses like Jeremiah? Not on Monday nights. All my shows come on Monday. No. Ain't no your business whether I got tape it or not, Pastor. That's my Monday night, my time. I was with you all day Sunday. You know you're long-winded. Now you want my Monday. If I ain't careful, then you'll have something on Tuesday. Then you want me to come to Bible study on Wednesday. You ought to want to come yourself. I only want you to come because we're going to have some fun to learn something together. I don't want to leave my brothers and sisters behind. No one left behind. We'll learn this word together so we be understanding. So we get there on Sunday, we all be on one accord. We be in that word together. We be excited. We be giving God the praise, the honor, and glory, you know, because we understand what God's trying to do in the midst of us. But God has made some promises to you because he's got a plan for you. All assignments and all callings from God on our lives are not the same. So don't be careful when you compare notes. That's all I want to say. When you start comparing your ministry to somebody, be very careful. You're a totally different person. You might not even have the same ministry. You might think you want to be up front. That's funny sometimes. Folks say, ain't nothing to it. I was in the barbershop. One guy said, I used to think there was nothing to preaching. So all you do is stand up and holler at the folks. You know, say yeah, you know, and just sit down somewhere. He said, I found out you got to prepare. You're supposed to prepare. You ain't got to do nothing. You're supposed to read, prepare, and study. You're supposed to preach and teach what thus saith the Lord. And for somebody who's struggling with that, you're supposed to add a little humor. You little deadbeats. No, you're supposed to add. God calls you your personality. Amen. But, you know, he said he found out it's more to this thing. To just stand up, you know. He thought you just put a robe on and put a ring on. And some shiny glasses and stuff with, you know, the stuff on the side and go preaching. But he found out you actually called to prepare to feed God's people. That when somebody leave here today, they ought to understand or take something with them. And they should not have to run to the Merriam-Webster dictionary to find out. Not my job to begin to just promote and flaunt. My job to come on, to bring to make this thing relevant to the people. So God will call you to do some stuff, and you be sometimes like, I know you don't want me to do this. Anybody like that? God call you to youth ministry, be like, I don't like kids. He said, good, that's why I call you to it. Because you need to like kids, because you go have some kids around you somewhere. Everybody, somebody used to teach, and they come to church. He said, oh, you'd be good if you teach kids. I teach kids all week long, 5 days a week. I don't want, but that's your thing. That's what you qualified to do. You good at it. You get paid for it. Maybe not in church, but people be like that. I said, oh, you good at finances. Won't you be able to, I don't want to touch no money. I deal with people's money all week long. I see millions of dollars is not in my account. I don't want to touch no money in my account. I'm tired of it. But whatever God assigns us to do, we need to remember and know that God has made some promises to be with us. See, sometimes that takes the fear out. Fear is real. When God calls you to do something, it's real. That fear comes in because you begin to think about, oh my God, I got to let my pastors know that what the people are going to think about me. Because you and I know that before God called you, you sat in the pew and talked about the people in leadership too. Yes, you did. You talked about it too. Said, they don't know what they're doing. I can do a better job than that. Then God heard you and God called you. You said, oh my God. Now I got to be up front with those buffoons. You got to know that's life. That's how it is. That's how we are. Until we get in the spotlight, we talk all kinds of stuff. Say, I don't know why they did it that way. It seems to me, yes, it does seem to you. because you don't have a whole picture yet. You haven't been in the pit. You didn't have to roll up your sleeves yet. It's easy to be the Monday morning quarterback. That's talking about what should have done, what could have done, what better. Where were you when we had the planning session? You were home Monday night watching your shows.
Yeah.
But all of us have at least one gift. And we ought to use that gift for the glory of God. As we consider the prophet Jeremiah, we should take into consideration that he was called by God to what we consider to be a very tough assignment. Not only was Jeremiah, not only was he ignored, he was threatened. They put him down in the pits. They hated him. They despised him. Jeremiah's like, man, if this is ministry, what does eternal damnation look like? You got to be real sometimes. But God said, I got you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. See, you got to have some folk that are not afraid to step out in ministry. Because what happens sometimes in ministry, you want folk to applaud you and stuff. Some assignments, you don't get no applause. Matter of fact, some assignments, folk don't even know you do what you do. They just know you show up in church. Some folk don't care what you do. Just do it. Come on. If the light's not on, then you want to know who's responsible for the light. As long as the light's on, don't nobody care about no light bill or no church. Don't let the toilet paper be missed. Oh. That's serious stuff right there. Oh, my God, that's serious stuff right there. Folks ain't thinking about where you bought it from, where you get it from, until it's missing. Ain't no thing. Oh, I feel the breeze. Oh, who broke the window? I didn't know we had windows in the church. I just come in and I'm straightforward to the pulpit. Sometimes you don't realize stuff. But God has gifted people to be able to go in ministry and do what needs to be done. And thank God for folks that don't need a whole lot of recognition. That's how churches function. They don't need a whole lot of recognition. Folks not always looking for this and looking for that. You got some folks that they do one thing. And you have a recognition day, you better recognize them. If you don't recognize them, you ain't going to get no recognition. They're going to be gone. But see, we got to be straight on what we're here for. We got to give God the glory. What you in ministry for? Because you want to be up front? You can wear a suit every day if you like, or a nice dress, and walk down the street. And that's what it's all about. Then you're not fit for ministry. God don't call us all that nonsense like that. This is not Hollywood. This is ministry. This is pulling people out of hell's fire. This is sending out the lifeline. This is being on point so somebody might get saved, that somebody know that Jesus yet lives. This is what this thing is all about. But sometimes we lose our focus in church. We get all messed up. We get stuck on ourselves. The church wouldn't be nothing without me. Well, thank you. Sit down, please. I'm glad you're here. You are a very powerful member of this church. And if it wasn't for you, I know we wouldn't be here. What else do you want us to do? You got to be real. Man, you got to look in the mirror and tell yourself, God, am I doing this for your glory? God, this song I'm about to sing, is it for your glory? Or I want the folk to be impressed with my pipes? Come on. This sermon, God, is this sermon going to help anybody, or I'm just trying to show my abilities? My Bible tells me that Jeremiah had to confront many people about their sins. That ain't easy. Jeremiah was called by God to be a prophet to Judah, and the kingdom had split. It was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom was Judah. After King Solomon's death, the United Kingdom of Israel split. And they were into rival. They were rival kingdoms. I said, that's deep. Why he called Jeremiah when they start rumbling? You know, after they split, he said, hey, Jerry, come here, man. The kingdoms are split. I need you to go talk to a part of them. See, God will do that sometimes because you know why? He know what he put in you. He knows exactly. He know you got it. And out of fear, we say, oh, no, I ain't messing with that. I ain't messing with the two kingdoms now. I ain't messing with the northern kingdom or the southern. I used to be from the northern kingdom. Then I joined the southern kingdom. If I mess around and get in between them, they're going to get me. The northern kingdom is called Israel. The southern kingdom is called Judah. Jeremiah lived and prophesied during the reigns of the last five kings. It's hard to be able to be a prophet under kings. Some of them were messed up, crooked. Some of them ain't care. You know, people used to call the prophets and the preachers, they used to call them to the White House. That's the way it used to work. Now the White House told the church what to do. People used to respect the church. They used to call. They used to consult with the church. They used to consult with spiritual leaders, but we're so much like the world right now that they don't see any difference. Where did we lose this thing? What have we done? Jeremiah prophesied to Judah from 627 B.C. until the exile in 586 B.C. to Babylon. He prophesied during the time of economic, political, spiritual, and moral chaos. Sound like present-day United States of America. Jeremiah faithfully confronted the leaders and all those that he had to. And he prophesied to them, even when they went to the 70-year captivity in Babylon, he was still faithful. After surviving the fall of Jerusalem, Jeremiah was forcibly taken to Egypt, yet Jeremiah remained faithful. That's one thing we got to learn. Sometimes you got to go through something. Stop getting mad with God. God, I'm mad with you. You put me through this. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm not saying you ought to run around talking about, hey, God messed me up. I'm so excited. Hallelujah. Praise. Don't be phony with it. Be real with it. Begin to talk about the God that never left you, the God that showed you, the God that brought you up out of something, the God that took you out of this and took you out of that. That's what we need to do. Somebody else said, we need to throw in the towel, turn our backs on God. And it's not even completed yet. In the process of doing what God has called us to do, there's some blessings in that. So many times when we have a testimony service, it's all so negative. Oh, the devil on my track. But how about, you know, the Lord bless you with $500 from your cousin. See, y'all ain't selling that. Because y'all say, a pastor gonna want 10%. That's why I thought that's all about what they got in there. They don't talk about no money nobody gave. You know, the church wants 10%. That's why when I testify, I'll say nothing about what nobody gave me none. The church wants 10%. No, really, God says 10%. I want your 10%. Folks select them in what they testify about. Well, I just got a new car. I don't know if I'm doing my old one. After service, you're going to have so many friends. Even the ones that talked about your old car. You know, I like your old car. Since I'm on the bus, your old car is good. It looks real good. Real good right now. You need to take off your hands? You know. Jeremiah was only able to fulfill his calling, his assignment, no matter what he went through, because of the promise that God made to him. When we look at Jeremiah 1:1 through 10, let us consider these three points. Number one, God's word came to him. So be careful. Make sure God's word comes to you. Don't just jump out because you want to do something and be seen. You ain't never been nothing in life. I really want to be something. Here's my chance to be something. If God didn't call you to it, don't touch it. See, God's not like some pastor that gives you a little piece of paper with an assignment on it until you pray over it. God don't do that. Deke. Number one, God's word came. Number two, God's call came. And number three, God's promise came. God's word came. Number one. Number two, God's call came. And number three, God's promise came. Look at Jeremiah 1:1-3. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. We got to understand, no matter what's going on, no matter which kingdom divided, I don't care if they divided or they split in three parts, the word of God can still come. There's nothing that can happen in earth that can stop the word of God from being fulfilled or coming forth unless God stops it. But God, when God begins to see things falling apart, he got a word for somebody. But he got to put that word in somebody. And this is Jeremiah's turn to do this. And a lot of times God will call you in the midst of a mess, and that's what we don't want. We don't want to be called in the midst of a mess. God, can't you call somebody else? My cousin has very good speaking ability. Why are you calling me? But the word of the Lord came unto him in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. The word of the Lord came unto me. You already got a king. I got to deal with the king. Look at verse 3. It came off on the day that Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. It came under, the word of the Lord came under all these kings. The word of the Lord came. He served under five kings. The word of the Lord was still coming because God had to get a message. If God can't get the message through the king, God gonna send his own messenger. You ever send somebody with a message, they keep on messing it up? You said, never mind. I'll text them myself. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to text them. Ain't nobody going nowhere no more. So God's word came. And look at point number two. God's call came. Look at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying. He said, the word of the Lord came. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before. God has a plan for your life. And he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That blew my mind. That before I was even thunk of, God's awesome. Check this out. Before I was even formed in my mama's belly, God had already had a plan for my life that wasn't even born yet. Because he's Alpha and Omega. The beginning, but I thought the beginning was when I was conceived. He said, no, I got another beginning. I got a beginning before the beginning. I got the genesis of this thing. Before I formed in your belly, I knew thee. That messed me up. I'm not even formed yet. My personality, I'm not even in the fetal, embryonic. I ain't nothing. But God is designing something that ain't nothing. Sound like how he made Genesis. I'm really not anything yet, but God designed something for me, and I'm nothing yet. But he's got a design. It's almost like he's making up something for me to walk into. It's like he designed something because he know I'm going to make it. I'm glad God got a plan for my life, isn't it? That's the kind of God we serve. He know your name and how you're going to be, know your personality, and he has the nerve to make something, you know, like just for you. He said, before I formed in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified. My God. That's powerful. He said, I knew you before you were even conceived. Then after you were conceived, before you even came out of your mama's womb, I reached in there and sanctified. And you know, that's not just Jeremiah. That's some of us sitting right here today. God knew it. And before you even came out your mama's womb, God reached in there and sanctified you for the calling on your life.
Well, some of us are sanctified, don't even know it. And then he said, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. He didn't say you can't do anything else. He said, I ordained thee. He said, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to what you're going to be for me. Because when you give me your life, I'm not going to just start planning when you say yes. I'm going to activate the plan when you say yes. You know, I told you about the activator, right? Did you ever have a Jerry Curl? I told you about the activator, right? Nobody here got a curl, a Jerry Curl today. I'll make sure I hurt nobody's feelings, you know. But that stuff, it don't work till you spray. You wake up in the morning, it's dead. But you spray that stuff, it's stuck. Master. Shine. Something was dripping. I knew one brother, he had to put a paper, a napkin in his collar till he got to work. Because it was, you know. Yeah, because if you got to work overtime, you can't keep running back and forth to the bath. You get docked, keep running back from the bath. Activate, so I'm going to be activated. Let me move on. Somebody looking at me said, man, this boy about crazy. But God's call came upon Jeremiah. And then Jeremiah said, but wait a minute. Then said, verse 6, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. That's deep because that Jeremiah knew the word was for him. You ever try to transfer the word to somebody else? Yeah, God. God called me. You know, she talked to my wife. Jeremiah said, who? He can't. I can't speak. I'm too young for that. I'm under 18, man. He was very young at this point in time, maybe like in his 20s or so. But he said, I'm a child. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, said Jeremiah, say not, I am a child. He didn't tell Jeremiah, you're not a child. He said, don't tell me that you're a child. I know. As a matter of fact, you go up a couple of verses before you were even conceived. God, I'm very knowledgeable of you. Before you became who you are, I knew you before you were ever anything. Before you even thunk of. Already knew you. I already know all about you. You don't got to give me no resume. God ain't made no mistake. God called you to do something. He man, you got to go check with nobody. You think I'm qualified? God said I called you. You got to check with nobody. God may confirm it for you, but whoever you, God called in. And you know what? We need to understand a lot of frustration in church. A lot of people are frustrated in the body of Christ. They don't get nothing out of church because they ain't putting nothing in. You know why? Because they're not releasing themselves. They're not saying yes to the Lord. They're just somewhere, just on the side somewhere. I just going to church. It's more to than just going to church. There's something for you and I to do in church or for the glory of God. People say, why do y'all keep on calling the same folk? Well, the same folk keep on doing stuff. They report for duty. But there's something for you and I to be able to do. And then God has put a gift in each and every one of us. We just sit back and I'll let them do it. Yeah. But you're missing your blessing because there's a blessing in saying yes to the Lord. Oh, my God. Did God make some promises? And see, the promise isn't just that I'll give you everything you need to do my will. It's I'll give you everything to do my will plus whatever else. It's God, I'm going to bless you now because you've been faithful. If you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over much. God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He told Jeremiah, don't say I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. That is so powerful. And then God's promise came. Look at verse 8. Be not afraid of their face. Has anybody ever been fearful when God called you to do something? You ever been fearful? Because you look at people that supposedly got it going on, they already polished, and you tell them, I can't do that. God said, I ain't call you to do that. I call you to do what I call you to do. Don't let somebody else set the standard for you. Let God set the standard for you. God said, I put in you what you need. Now, what you need to do is say yes to me so I can activate what I put in you so you can begin to talk like I want you to talk, walk like I want you to talk, think like I want you to think. I want your mind renewed. I want you to be able to do the things that I call. I'm going to open up my word unto you because if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give the all men liberty and upbraideth not. God is speaking to us today and saying, look, I called you and I didn't make no mistake. I know who you are. I know your age. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through. I know what you've done. And I still called you. Whoever's perfect, please raise your hand. You can be excused. Amen. Yeah, I want to make sure I got the right crowd here on this Sunday. Amen. He said, be not afraid of their faces because fear always gets there. Because people look at you. Some Sundays, I think what we'll do is start rotating. Every Sunday, somebody else will sit up here with us. You should see some of the faces. Be like, what the? Is that dude crazy? Man, they'd be like, can't get with that. He said, I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So God gave him a call. He said, but guess what? I won't leave you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you no matter what it is, no matter where you go. I will be with you. Verse 9 left Jeremiah up. Because Jeremiah thought he was going to wiggle out of this thing. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words. I'm like, Jeremiah probably said, I ain't even opened my mouth. You ain't got to. The Lord just touched his mouth and said, behold, now I have put my words in your mouth. We be worried about too much. God said, if you just say yes, I'll do the rest. Then look at verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. God made some promises to Jeremiah. I said, look, Jeremiah, if you say yes to me, I'm not going to leave you. Anybody ever have a friend that's supposed to be a good friend and no longer a good friend because they left you? Y'all got into some stuff. Before y'all got into it, they said, man, I'm going down with you, man. Ain't nobody going to do nothing to you. Ain't nobody going to mess with you, man. We like that. You ever had somebody promise you all that kind of stuff? And then when you got in trouble, I got your back. How can you have my back, you 14 blocks back down the other way? God not like that. God be, but you got to do it God's way. Whatever God plans for you to do, we got to do it God's way in order to get God's presence and God's promise in our lives. It seems to me that God is saying to us today that no matter what our assignment, His promise to us should be sufficient enough for us to accept it, to go forth and endure. We fail to realize that sometimes the fullness of our existence does not unfold until we do that which God has called us to do. Some of us are looking for this fulfillment in our lives. It's in Christ Jesus. You're never going to get the fulfillment that you're looking for because it's in Christ Jesus. The other part of your life is in Christ. God has called us to do. And if you don't know what that is, then keep on hanging around the Word of God. Keep on hanging around the power of God and the people of God. And God will begin to speak to you and show you and make you sensitive to certain things. He'll let you see something nobody else will see. But nobody gets a free pass. We all have at least one gift to you for the building up of God's kingdom and bringing Him glory. But God made some promises. When you get a chance, read the book of Jeremiah and what he went through to do what God called him to do. It wasn't easy. It wasn't a cakewalk. As a matter of fact, sometimes Jeremiah, like you and I, wanted to quit and throw in the towel. Anybody ever felt like that? With life and with ministry and with church? Anybody say, I can't do the church thing. I'm tired of ministry. I'm tired of the church thing. I'm tired of coming here for meetings and nobody don't show up. And I found out one time I was in charge of some ministries and I got tired of people not showing up. They didn't show up because I didn't really want to show up. They felt me not wanting to show up. They felt it in me just coming here, just coming into church. Not really about that. Just showing up because my name is on there. You got to show up because you want to show up. You got to do this thing because God called you to do it. You got to be in it because God said, I'm in it with you. We got to be excited, even though there's some challenges. I lied to you to tell you that sometimes you won't have sleepless nights. I lied to you if I tell you you're always going to be joyful and happy and skipping to the church. That's a lie. Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes you don't want to go to church. Sometimes you don't want to hear a sermon. Just like the altar prayer. You just want God to heal you and deliver you and pay your bills and set you free and let you go to the beach for a day. That's all. That's real. But it's also real that God said, if you just do what I tell you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I will let no hurt, harm, or danger come upon you. That's the hard part for you and I. Because so many of us have been in a struggle almost all our lives. Everything we got came the hard way. By daring to try Jesus. Because with some difficulty comes the blessings. I'd rather work for a God that says, if you do this, I'll do that. Than work for somebody else that says, just do this. That's what our jobs are. They just tell you, do this. Get it done the best way you can. God said, I want you to do this. I'm going to give you all the best stuff you need. Just follow me. But Jeremiah, he got kind of upset too. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah said, you know what? These people, they ain't not listening. And God will tell you sometimes, you know, he said, this folk ain't going to listen to you, man. That's why Moses said, why are you going to send me to tell them? Why are you going to come tell me to tell Pharaoh something? And Pharaoh's going to harden his heart and not listen to me. God said, well, you just mind your business. I ain't tell you to worry about Pharaoh's response. I told you to get Pharaoh my message. So that's what God's trying to tell some of us today. God said, I ain't tell you to try to save the world. I told you to witness. I told you to preach and teach my word. You all in seconds, ain't nobody getting saved in your eyesight. I ain't asked you to save nobody. Oh, look at Jeremiah chapter 20. Look at verse 1. Jeremiah was put like in stocks. I mean, he was mad. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet. Now, that'd be it. That'd be it for most of us. Anybody in here going to get smoked and be cool with it? You got to do what God, I tell you, this is deep. You ain't let nobody go. You know, some of us, if somebody walk up on you too close, you better look at it. I told somebody I was closing church one night. And I come out and turn my back to my door. Some dude walk up out of the corner. I said, boy. Yes, sir, I'm pastor, yes, but you almost got just smote up, yeah. He said, I wonder if you can help me. I said, I'm going to help you up off the ground, my brother. How you? It's all dark. I'll turn the lights out. You going to come around out the... And I'm putting the key in the door on my elbows here, too. I put the key. Oh, Lord. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house, and they put him in jail. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Misabib. You got to have Jesus with you to go tell the man that smote you and put you in jail that God changed your name because you ain't nothing. Come on. If God ain't with you, he said, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. And they shall fall by the sword of the enemies, and that I shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. This is Jeremiah, a man in stock, in jail, doing what thus saith the Lord. We think we got it rough. Look at verse 5. More, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of the enemies, which shall spoil them, and he take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity. Man, God got to be with you to talk that kind of stuff. You've been smoked and you like in chains, and Jeremiah's talking stuff. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. But look at verse 7. Jeremiah said, wait a minute now. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I hast prevailed. In other words, you make me do this. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocking me. Ain't nobody listening to me. They making fun of me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I ain't going to say nothing about God no more. I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I was weary with trying to keep my mouth shut, and I could not say. See, when you say yes to the Lord, when God makes a promise to you that gets all in your spirit, you can sit down for a minute if you want to. You can leave the church if you want. But something, when you got it, you got it. Something starts stirring up in you. You try to be quiet. You know how people used to, sometimes in church, they wanted people to be quiet while the message going on. And somebody got a word. They got a word for the Lord. They'd be like, They was jumping all around. They say they're trying to keep still. But Jeremiah said, you know, after all this, I said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of getting beat. I'm tired of getting cussed at. I'm tired of getting spit on. I'm tired of getting thrown in pits. I'm tired of this stuff. Now, God, I noticed what you called me to do. I said, I know you said you'd be with me. They haven't killed me yet, man. But look here, man. I'm tired of this nonsense. But sometimes when God calls you to do something, that's all you know to do. Yeah. And when you're not doing it, you don't feel right. He says, like fire. Fire ignited and rekindled by the promise of God made to him. That's like you and I. You sit down on stuff, you give up stuff. I ain't doing that. Don't be like Moses. Let the people get on your nerves now. Boy, they ran Moses crazy out there. Moses, he had to strike the rock because, you know, if I wrote the Bible, I would had to strike somebody. But he had to strike the rock, you know. But Jeremiah had to finish what God called him to do. And just like Jeremiah, Jesus had to finish what God called him to do. Turn to Matthew 26 as we close out. But God made some promises to you and to me. So don't be afraid to do ministry. Come out of your comfort zone. Some of y'all supposed to be in seminary somewhere. Y'all running around. Ain't no pastor, co-pastor, I ain't got 4 or 5 ministers all up. Ain't no more seats. Stop the nonsense. We'll buy you a seat. Just accept the call. Oh, look at it. They got too many people in that choir. I ain't sick. Look at them stressed all the way across. All of a wall to pew. Look at them. Ain't no room for me. You better stop talking that stuff. You know God done spoke to you. He spoke to you. He said, come on in. Come on in. Come on in the city. Come on, be blessed. Look at Matthew 26:36. Jesus was messed up here. Then comes Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. We are very familiar with this. Because Jesus kept trying to get the Father to understand, like, I'm ready to give up. This is a bitter cup. Anybody got a bitter cup today? You can, it's all right, because, you know, you can raise your hand, you're ready to give up, because we ain't going to let you give up. We're going to hold you in here till you say uncle. But you ever been to the point you're just ready to give up on everything? As a matter of fact, you're ready to give up on life? Because life is not like it should be, because you're not really anchored in with the Lord. Your relationship with Christ is not what it should be, because you've been trying to do some stuff on your own. And actually God said, if you do it my way, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Anybody ever done that's messed up and you pulled out the wrong agenda one morning, you got up, you pulled out your agenda instead of God's agenda, and you were going throughout the day with your agenda and your agenda wasn't working, then you... Jesus said, wait a minute, this cup too much, man. But then Jesus said something like this. If the only way this cup will pass, and you got to understand that, if the only way God will stop messing you up at night when you can't sleep, if the only way God will stop tugging at your heart, calling your name, if the only way this thing can pass from me is if I endure it and receive it, then nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus said, saying, Lord, I understand it now. But I also understand that the blessing that this cup will provide, I can't get it till I drink it. There's somebody here today. You got a cup to drink, but you don't want to drink it. But then your blessings don't come until after you deal with that cup. There's a lot of stuff in your cup. And you're upset because all your life there's been stuff in your cup. There's been other people's stuff in your cup. You had to take care of your brothers and sisters. Your husband or wife left you. You had to do all that stuff on your own. All that stuff was in your cup. And God never moved it. Because God made a promise to you. He said, look here, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But God said, the only way this thing is going to happen, the only way you're going to get to the other side of this cup is if you drink it. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you kind of fed up with this thing. You're like, you're through with it. But God made some promises to you. And because of what you've been through, what you experienced, the promises have faded in your memory. You can only hear them as clear as you used to hear them. But God is saying to you, I know your situation. I know your condition. I'll never leave you. I'm going to provide for you if you just say yes to me. Jesus said yes. They came and got him. So he said yes, here come Judas. Oh, don't forget about the Judases in your life. Yeah, they're not all in the church. Some are in your family. Some are your best friends to you. They were your best friends that you got saved. Don't get saved and start living for the Lord. Your friends might turn to some Judases. They're not going to like that no more. They're going to start talking about you. You think you're perfect. Miss Goody Two Shoes. Mr. Holier Than Thou. Because you don't do what you used to do. You don't hang out where you used to hang out. You don't owe them nothing. Matter of fact, you probably paying for this. Go ahead and be somebody. Go ahead and be free in Jesus. You don't need all that stuff. You don't need to drink with them. Get your own stuff. Go up in your own house.
Just don't be an alky. You got, everybody here got two hands. You don't nobody drink with. Amen. If you have an air guitar, you can have an air dance party. You don't need. Come on. Learn how to have some fun in Christ. Because we got this thing that everybody don't want to go to church no more. We look so sad when we come in and say, has God not spoken to you? Has God not done something in your life? Why does all the bad stuff come to the top of the mug? Why? When we talk about what God has done, why we got to give all the evil report? How about the good report? All right. Tell your good friend. Talk about it. But don't forget about your resurrection Sunday. Let folks know you got to go through something to get to something. But God is always there. Jesus said one time, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God was simply saying, when you take on the sins of the world, I got to turn faith on him, but I haven't forsaken you. But that early Easter Sunday morning, that stone was rolled away. Jesus got up with all power in his hand. He's saying to you, I made some promises. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I ordained your life. Somebody's thinking, I don't even belong in this church. Who told you that? God called you here. Did you know you could be ordained to a church? You didn't come in by mistake. You thought you were coming, you know, just to drop in, see what they're doing over there. And I heard about that crazy co-pastor they got up in this. I won't come by one Sunday and, oh, hey, baby girl, and see what they're doing up in there, you know. And the Spirit of the Lord and the power of the Word of God fell upon you and began to touch your heart. That's what we need on a consistent basis. Digging in the Word, having the Word of God fall upon our hearts where we can feel the presence of God on our lives. We need the presence of God on our jobs and in our homes and in the church. It's not just a Sunday event. But if God says he's going to be with you, he'll be with you no matter where you are, no matter what we do. And we can't blow God's mind. No matter what we fall into. Don't tell me God's not there. He might not like what I do. But don't tell me he's not there. Oh, my God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That even if my own mind tells me to do wrong, it doesn't mean God's not there. Because sometimes that's the Holy Spirit telling you, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't buy that. Don't indulge in that. Don't look at that. But you know what happens? Sometimes our flesh will overpower our spirit. But don't tell me God's not there, because as soon as I repent, or as soon as you repent, you feel the power and presence of God being restored in your life. And be an adult enough, be Christian enough to know when you're wrong. Stop trying to rationalize your mess. God made a promise to you. He said, I know all about you. He not only did God promise Jesus certain things, he promised you and I certain things through Jesus Christ. Our salvation and all that involves comes through Jesus Christ. It's the greatest story ever told. Because nobody can do what God did. Send his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross. But when you feel like Jeremiah and Judah or Jesus in the garden, remember God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will keep his promises because he's not a man where he should lie. But nobody can do you like Jesus. Nobody. And what we need to know today is this. If you're here today, you need to make a decision. Make a conscious, intelligent, informed decision. Jesus, I don't want you in my life. I'm going to continue to struggle like I'm struggling because I don't need your power. I don't want to be in your church. I don't want your Bible. I don't want to hear none of your songs. I don't want none of that. But if you really want to change in your life, that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and everything that involves. And it can happen. You know why? Because if I reject Christ and spend all my energy going to eternal damnation, why not accept Christ and spend all my energy having the blessed life now and eternal joy forever? It's not like I don't have the energy to do it.
Because it takes energy to do wrong, y'all. Oh, some of y'all might be perfect because y'all didn't leave. It takes energy to do wrong. So God can take that energy and transform it into you and I doing right for His glory. Let us stand all over God's house. God's promises. There may be someone here today.